Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The FT.
At first, when you scan the cultural landscape, it just seems like everything is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Times are tough, we all know that. Only the strong will survive. For strong, read big. Not just big, huge. How will publishers counter the might of Amazon, which just reported sales of $15.7 billion in 3 months? By mustering their regiments into one giant army. The merger of Penguin and Random House will mean a single company controlling a quarter of the world book market. This week, it was announced that two of the biggest global ad agencies, Publicis and Omnicom, are considering a merger, which, if it went ahead, would mean the same company trying to sell us both Pepsi and Coke, a conflict which makes the agonies over the sun-kissed Ocean Spray accounts in last season's Mad Men look like pretty small potatoes. And yet, once you lay these huge tiles out on the table, a funny thing happens. There's more room to move between them. In most every medium, it seems, independence is finding a way. Last week, I found myself chatting to musician Chris Wood, whose new album, None the Wiser, is just out. Wood is a star of the English folk scene, and indeed, the increasing prominence of folk in the music industry, from the Mumfords on down, speaks of an audience more interested in exploration than the big record companies give them credit for. Wood's song One in a Million, written with Hugh Lupton, won Best Original Song at the BBC Two Folk Awards in 2006. His work on Cold, Haley, Rainy Night with the Imagine Village helped that win Best Traditional Song in 2008. Here's a clip.
Oh, my hat is frozen to my head. My feet are like two lumps of lead. I'm stuck out here, half drenched, half dead, from standing under your window.
Oh, let me in, the soldier cried. Cold, hailing, windy night. Oh, let me in, the soldier cried, or I'll not come back again.
Wood has run his own label, RUF Records, since 1992. He controls his own music. I was courted by various labels when I started out, he says. I went to see them with my dad. He couldn't believe his ears. They were asking for everything and offering a maybe. That initial refusal to sign, more than two decades ago, was a financial one. But of course, it's an artistic decision too. Can I get to sleep at night, knowing I've signed over a year's work to someone I don't trust? Obviously, the answer's no, he says, wryly. He knows the business model for the music industry is changing. As with the publishing industry, there is no model, but a brave new world. Spotify is great for the consumer, but not so great for artists, whose income from streaming can be measured in fractions of cents. We don't know what the new business model will be, Wood says, but he says it will be the artists who lead the way. Adele is off Spotify. Tom Waits is off Spotify. They've had a good hard look and seen that it's not sustainable. The question is what sustainable really means. For huge companies, such as Penguin Random House, which now controls nearly 250 separate publishing imprints, sustainable means a very big number indeed. Which is in part why David Fickling, founder of David Fickling Books, has chosen, perfectly amicably, he stresses, to part company with Random House, under whose auspices he's worked for the past dozen years. Fickling, with his distinctive bow tie and determinedly energetic manner, is a transformational figure in publishing, the man who stuck with Philip Pullman for years before the success of his Dark Materials brought global renown, the man who discovered Mark Hatton and believed that the curious incident of the dog in the nighttime could be read by both children and adults. A week ago, I paid a visit to Fickling's pleasingly ramshackle Oxford office, where he and his managing director, author and editor Simon Mason, were contemplating their newfound independence. On a sunny day, among the dreaming spires, it was hard to imagine a better working environment. Fickling's daughter Rosie was manning the phones. The staff of his reborn comic, The Phoenix, were beavering away next door. Fickling, with a laugh at his own pretension, is fond of quoting Einstein. "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honours the servant and has forgotten the gift." That gift, for him, is not the success of authors he's already championed, much as he loves them, but the discovery of new authors and the ability to stick with them through thick and thin. "If your default position is huge commercial success," he says, "that's not necessarily the default position for making good things." He doesn't scorn commercial success, far from it, but seeks the success that comes from supporting original talent. In the world of film, consider the trajectory of Fruitvale Station, the true life drama of Oscar Grant, a young man wrongfully shot by police in Oakland, California. An independent debut from director Ryan Coogler, it was made for under $1 million. The Zimmerman Trayvon Martin verdict makes it a timely release. It took Best First Film at this year's Cannes Film Festival, and last weekend screenings were expanded to over 1,000 screens in the US. It's already heading past the $5 million mark. Readers, listeners, and viewers are hungry for originality and independence. Increasingly, they know how to seek it out for themselves. A real revolution is well underway.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts.